Section 5. Massacre at Eridanus Secundus. Chapter 26. Time, date record, error, anomaly. Date unknown. Captured Covenant flagship Ascendant Justice. In anomalous slipspace bubble. The Master Chief woke. Consciousness, however, was a slight overestimation of his condition. His blurry vision came into focus slowly, but there was nothing to see except the interior of his visor. Amber status lights winked on. Pain washed over his feet, his right thigh, and his hand. Good. He was alive. He knew from previous experience that this was the tail end of shock, and the stunning, numbing effects of that state were wearing off. He felt the familiar weight and reactive circuits of his Mjolnir armor surrounding him. The coppery-tinged flavor of biofoam coated his mouth, so he also surmised that his injuries had been recently treated. And there was gravity. The press against his back was a great comfort to the Master Chief. The next time someone wanted him to go on a zero-G op, he'd...
"Welcome back," Cortana said, interrupting his thoughts.
A faint light flickered on to his left. He turned onto his side. The burns on his extremities protested and shot lances of pain up his hand and feet. He was in a medbay. The lights were turned down low, and he saw that he was the only person occupying a recovery bed. Biomonitors pulsed along one wall, displaying his vital signs and MRI snapshots. A holographic projection pad stood next to his bed. Cortana's tiny figure, strobing with symbolic logic code, waved to him, and when he didn't immediately respond, she crossed her arms impatiently.
"MRIs show no concussion, no subdural or epidural hematomas. You must have a thicker skull than I thought."
"Where am I?"
"Deck 32 on the UNSC frigate Gettysburg," Cortana told him. "Or what's left of it, anyway."
"What happened?"
Cortana sighed. "Are you referring to what happened since I left you on Reach? Or the outcome of the slipspace battle? Or do you mean what happened since that battle?"
"The battle first," he said, and struggled to get up. "I presume we won."
Standing was too painful, though, and the strength seemed to have been drained from his muscles. He eased himself back to his original horizontal position. Cortana's pale blue light dimmed, and her gaze dropped to the deck. "Blue team successfully repaired the main engine conduit."
"I remember," the Master Chief murmured. "The repair part of it, at least. There was an explosion."
"A plasma bolt," Cortana corrected. She sighed. "I'm sorry, Chief, but only you and Spartans 093, 043, and 104 survived that blast."
Grace, Will, and Fred were alive, but Lee, Anton, and Warrant Officer Pulaski had been killed in action. He remembered Pulaski's scream, then Anton's outline as the flash of white-hot fire swept over the hull. "Acknowledged," he said, as graciously as he could muster, but he heard bitterness give an edge to his voice. It struck him as odd that Pulaski's death affected him as well. He'd seen thousands of UNSC soldiers die. She hadn't hesitated to transport Blue Team on a mission that was insanely dangerous. She had survived the Battle of Reach, the crash landing on Halo, the Flood, and everything else. Then she had bravely volunteered for this mission, too, and perhaps saved all their lives. She might have made a good Spartan. There were worse eulogies. The Master Chief sighed, called up his team roster on his heads-up display, and marked Anton and Lee as missing in action. He paused to view all the others on that list. His first and best friend, Sam, was there, and he hadn't even realized a dozen more had been listed as MIA. He saved the changes to the roster and closed the file.
"What about Kelly and Linda?"
he asked Cortana. Cortana looked up and flipped the hair from her luminous eyes. She paced a small circle on the holographic pad and then said,
"Spartan 087 Kelly is recovering from second-degree burns on 72% of her body. Dr. Halsey has accelerated tissue regrowth with dermacortic steroids. She should be fully healed in a matter of days, although her mobility will be severely hampered until then."
"Aunt Linda?"
"Accessing status." Cortana paused for a full second. Dr. Halsey has Spartan 058 currently in Medical Facility Alpha, 3 decks above us. She still has her in a cryogenic state and is presently performing exploratory surgery. She has given me several orders to prepare the flash clone banks for replacement organs pending transplant.
So she's alive? The Master Chief asked.
Technically, Cortana replied, no. For a moment, there was a look of genuine concern on her face, but it quickly vanished. The Doctor and Admiral Whitcomb have debated the risk of attempting to revive Spartan 058 before we reach a major medical facility. Dr. Halsey, I'm sure, will brief you when she has all the facts, Chief.
John frowned at this lack of detail. He didn't appreciate Cortana's increasingly difficult attitude, one that had slowly shifted ever since she interfaced with the Forerunner computer system on Halo. He made a mental note to ask Dr. Halsey about Linda later, and he'd ask her about Cortana, too.
All other hands on board are accounted for? The Master Chief asked.
Yes, Chief. They are all engaged in repairs to the conjoined ships. We took tremendous damage in the expanded slipspace from plasma bombardments and mass impacts. Both ships' superstructures, however, remain intact. The Gettysburg's reactor is online and operating at 67% capacity. Ascendant Justice's reactor is offline undergoing repairs. 5 of our 7 plasma turrets require refit. And worst, Ascendant Justice's engines are crippled. We have less than 3% operational thrust.
Can the ship still jump to slipspace? Are we stranded out here?
A jump is possible, Cortana said. She shook her head the way an older sister might when her baby brother asked a naive question. It wouldn't do us any good, though. The alien artifact in Dr. Halsey's possession emits high levels of radiation in slipspace. This unknown radiation even penetrates your suit's shields. I estimate lethal exposure in just under 72 hours. Also, that radiation would serve as a beacon for any Covenant ships prowling slipspace, searching for us.
So we're stuck between systems.
Negative, Cortana replied, and her voice took on a new chill. Admiral Whitcomb is quite adamant that we risk another slipspace transition, regardless of the cost in human life. Otherwise, it would be weeks before we would be able to contact UNSC High Command.
HICOM. 2 facts suddenly clicked into place. The Admiral's need to contact the rest of the Admiralty, no matter the price, and Dr. Halsey's attempts to revive Linda. What's compelling the Admiral's tactics, Cortana?
Cortana's holographic outline softened. I told you this before, Chief, but apparently it did not stick in your semi-conscious state.
She then came into sharp focus and crossed her arms over her chest.
The Covenant have discovered the location of Earth.
The Master Chief stood, suddenly wide awake and alert. He set aside his pain and fatigue.
Explain, he demanded.
Cortana outlined her discovery of the encoded subchannel within normal Covenant communiques. She explained how the Covenant's military orders were disseminated with startling efficiency, and she then showed him symbols that represented the coordinates for Sol and Earth. He stood mute and listened. The UNSC had worked so hard for so long to preserve this secret. It was only a matter of time. He had always known that the Covenant had to find Earth sooner or later. He had, however, always thought it would be later, and never now. The Master Chief stared at the tiny triangles, squares, dots, and bars that made up the spatial coordinates.
We've seen these before, on Côte d'Azur.
Yes, and according to Dr. Halsey, her team on Reach found similar markings in the underground vaults.
What's the connection?
Unknown.
The Master Chief put these facts aside for the moment. The greater meaning of the symbols and translation he'd leave up to Cortana and ONI. The only insight that mattered to him was that the Covenant were going to attack Earth.
Was there a timetable or any other data encoded on the subchannel?
He asked.
Affirmative. There's a coordinated series of orders to Covenant warships scattered across the galaxy to rendezvous with a mobile command and control base they call the Unyielding Hierophant. When they have sufficient force, they will collectively make the jump to Earth.
The Master Chief moved toward the medical bay's doors.
they automatically parted.
Where's Admiral Whitcomb?
The Admiral is currently on the bridge, Cortana replied. But Dr. Halsey gave me strict orders that you are not to...
I don't take orders from civilians, he snapped. Not even her.
The Master Chief passed out of the medical bay and marched down the corridor. You know, Cortana said, her voice now coming from his helmet speaker, your attitude is degraded since we started this mission, even before the battle for Reach.
Noted, he replied.
The dim white light flooding the Gettysburg's passages was a welcome change from the blue illumination the Covenant used on their ships. John was glad to have his feet once more firmly planted on the raw steel decks of a human vessel, even if the walls of this passage were soot-stained. He entered the command elevator and punched the button for the bridge. The gentle acceleration made new pain flare along his arms, and ligaments popped in his chest. But he gritted his teeth and banished the pain from his awareness. When the doors parted, the Master Chief paused, taking in the sad state of the Gettysburg's bridge. The front viewports had been blown out and recently replaced with welded plates of hull armor. A trio of monitors had been hastily bolted in place over them. Crystallized, freeze-dried blood covered the navigation and ops consoles. Only three control stations were lit: engineering, computer status, and MAC ops. But most disconcerting was that only Admiral Whitcomb and Lieutenant Haverson were present on a bridge that usually needed a staff of 30 officers. The room was as still and empty as a tomb.
Master Chief, Admiral Whitcomb said, slightly surprised.
Sir.
He stood at attention and snapped off a crisp salute.
Permission to enter the bridge.
Granted, son,
the Admiral said.
What's your status, Chief? Haverson asked. Dr. Halsey told us it would be days before you recovered.
I'm 100%, sir, he said.
As if she had heard this statement, Dr. Halsey opened a comm channel, and a tiny video feed popped onto his heads-up display. Her glasses reflected an ambient orange light from wherever she was, and he could not see her eyes.
John, I need to speak with you.
I'm with Admiral Whitcomb and Lieutenant Haverson, ma'am. When I'm done, I can speak with you.
She was silent a moment, then said,
Very well.
The comm winked off. The Master Chief felt a pang of regret for being so terse with her.
Get over here, son, the Admiral said.
He returned his attention to the clear plastic wall dotted with stars and the diamond symbols that represented UNSC military outposts in this region of space.
We're in something of a tough spot.
He marched to the Admiral and Haverson and studied the chart with them.
Cortana's briefed me, sir. The Covenant know Earth's location and are on the move, most likely preparing a massive attack.
That's the gist of it, I'm afraid, Haverson said, and the Chief noticed deep circles of fatigue ringing the younger man's eyes. To complicate matters, we can barely navigate. We've been working around the clock to restore our ships, but we'd need an engineering crew of 100 and a space dock to get these wrecks into fighting shape. Admiral Whitcomb frowned at the lieutenant's dour assessment and added,
Another trick is that the crystal we picked up on Reach emits radiation in slipspace. Enough to kill everyone after only a few more hours of exposure. But we're hanging on to the alien device. It changes the properties of slipspace, as you already saw, but with one more twist. In the few minutes we were in that tangled version of slipspace, we traveled here.
He drew a tiny circle on the map, centered on their position.
Which, under normal circumstances, should have taken us days.
We attempted to briefly jump again, Haverson added, but nothing extraordinary occurred. This unusually long jump may have been caused by the energy added to slipspace by our battle with the Covenant.
In any case, Admiral Whitcomb said, if we learn what makes this crystal tick, it'll give us a hell of an edge on the Covenant.
I see, sir.
The Chief scrutinized their location. Not quite the definition of the middle of nowhere, but close. He noted that there were three star systems within the circle. Haverson also peered at the chart. He touched one of the star symbols within their range, and statistics scrolled alongside the object. He sighed. This system was glassed in 2530, so there's no chance there'd be anyone to help us there. And the other two systems,
He shook his head.
Uninhabited.
Hell,
Admiral Whitcomb said and tugged on his mustache.
We pulled out of this region of space almost as soon as the war started. The Covenant came in, burned Eridanus and the other outer colonies, and then moved on without batting an eye.
Eridanus? The chief stepped closer and touched the data scrolling next to the tiny star. I know this place. He turned to the Admiral. And there is a human colony there, sir. Just not one that UNSC cares about anymore. If I had to guess, I'd bet that the Covenant never found it either. We might be able to expedite repairs there. The Admiral stared thoughtfully at him.
You sure? Sure enough to bet our lives and Earth on that hunch, Chief?
The Master Chief looked again at the tiny dot on the map. It wasn't Eridanus he was thinking of. It was the surrounding asteroid belt, and a mission he and his team had executed 20 years ago. Yes, sir. I'm sure.